Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
What's up, man?
Not much.
So this week we are going to talk about Voltron Legendary Defender Season 7, which just hit Netflix not too long ago.
Part 1.
That's right. Episodes 1 through 6. And to get started, though, Star Wars dropped a little trailer that has sparked a little bit of controversy.
I guess.
What are you reading?
Oh, I was looking at the Jack Ryan.
Oh. That comes out soon.
8/31.
Like, yeah.
On Prime Video.
Yep.
And did you see that the guy that created Mad Men's got a show coming on Prime too?
No.
I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Resistance, though. It had over 27,000 downvotes on YouTube to like only 1,900 upvotes. Okay. For the longest time. I don't know what it like settled out at. But these Star Wars people.
Star Wars people.
Because like I'm sitting here. I'm wearing a Star Wars Rebels t-shirt right now. You know.
I'm the modern Star Wars fan, would you say?
I wouldn't say I'm a modern Star Wars.
No.
Oh, the modern Star Wars fan. Yeah.
You're not what I would consider OG Star Wars.
Because I was born 6 months too late.
After, yeah.
But Empire Strikes Back was the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater.
Because you were born in what?
77.
And yeah, it came out in 77.
No, it was May. It was May, and I'm December.
Yeah, 77. Sorry. And I seen it in 78.
Yeah.
So the first one you seen was Empire.
In 83. Right? Yeah, because I was like 4.
Right. Right. So,
but I also had a taller than me Chewbacca until I was
you
a certain
age. You grew up
age,
with
so.
Star Wars, yeah. Just like, you know, most people our age grew up with Star Wars. But now there's the modern Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
What is it? 9.3K up and 49K down.
Okay. So it's.
Are there comments? I mean,
yeah, there's comments. Okay. You gotta scroll down on the YouTube app there, but
I don't want to waste my time.
I don't want to read those comments, right? It's kind of enough is enough. Like, give it a chance.
What's your reasons?
Well, my reasons
for not reading
the comments. Well, because it's going to attack some group, attack some woman, attack some ethnicity. And then they're going to complain about Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy.
Well, who have nothing to do with
nothing. Well, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy only because she's the head of Lucasfilm.
Well,
but
it's like, you know, she's not sitting in the room like
no,
George Lucas
you're right,
was
you're right.
On Clone Wars.
So, you know, but it's like, okay, get over it.
Yeah.
And give it a shot. And I'm going to admit, like I said, I'm wearing a Rebels shirt right now. I just grabbed a Star Wars shirt
but
out of the closet.
When Rebels showed a preview, you were kind of negative.
I wasn't super negative. I was just like.
Kind of.
I was
negative.
My thought process was I was.
This isn't Clone Wars.
And that's not what I said. I said I wasn't a fan of the animation style.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I still wasn't a super fan of the animation. I don't think it was beautiful.
Speak as a person who's always been a fan of animation, and that it's not always about the animation,
right?
Sometimes it's about the story. Mm-hmm. The animation could be crap, and that, and then sometimes the animation sells it,
right?
And that this, you know, it's the same as I was comparing it to Tron Uprising,
right?
Which also was a Disney cartoon.
Well, there's
Tron
like,
Uprising's animation was not the greatest in the world,
but it was a really
cool
good cartoon,
cool and story.
And
great
there's
voices.
There's 4 or 5 current cartoons that share the animation style of Resistance.
And they're all in Disney.
It's the in-gauche, you know, animation.
Who's doing the animation?
I do not know.
I didn't know if there was like.
I didn't look up what studio it was. So for me, there's Studio Mir.
Uh-huh.
And then there's not Studio Mir.
Okay.
Like. Studio Mir does what they do, and then there's everybody else. So
which
I don't
is
even
kind of an obtuse
right.
Too,
and but, I don't even know. Really worry about them.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I thought from the microscopic trailer that we got,
there's Disney animation.
Yeah,
there's Studio Mir, and then there's everybody.
All right,
else.
I'll give you that.
Oh, and don't forget Pixar.
Well,
because they're not Disney animation.
No, but
have you seen the new Wreck-It Ralph trailer? They're not.
No.
Merida speaks a different language than the rest of the princesses.
Ah.
Have you seen that preview?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yet. I'll have to go back. I haven't seen the newest one.
Well, she's Scottish. Yeah. So she speaks Scottish. You know, she speaks really fast, and they're all in the room, and it's the slumber party.
Yeah.
And she starts, she just spouts off like this stuff. I think it's like Anna says, yeah, she's from the other studio. I was literally like, that's hilarious.
But it's Pixar. Brave is Pixar.
Brave is Pixar.
Yeah.
She's the only Disney princess that's from Pixar.
Yeah.
So she speaks Scottish, but they say she's speaking the language of the other studios.
Frozen wasn't Pixar?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's Disney animation.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I blocked Frozen out. Like, I knew that, but all right. So
Frozen's not a bad movie.
No, it's not. It's just
the Frozen ride in Disney is not.
But when you had a little girl that was in the correct age for Frozen when it came out,
you got it every day. Yeah.
And then the soundtrack and the sing-alongs.
I mean, we're talking Star Wars, so we're talking Disney anyway.
So okay. So this trailer comes out, like, they just kind of dropped it. There wasn't any real, like, preamble to it. It was just, here it is. Here's 2 minutes and 12 seconds, whatever it was. It was relatively short. They introduced
test the waters. Let's see what people say.
They introduced the very bare skeleton of the story, and then
it's literally
the,
like,
release date,
the beginning of the Resistance. Poe Dameron, Phasma's in it because they announced that Gwendolyn Christie is playing Phasma. Poe's trying to, like, find spies, because the First Order obviously is a new group at this point too. So he's got a kid who he knows, who's a good pilot, that he puts on this fuel center station, and, you know, oh my God, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
No, it's not. You haven't even seen it yet.
So
you've seen a snippet of a snippet,
right?
Of a snippet.
Yeah.
So you can't say it's terrible until you watch the first episode.
So guess
what? Once you watch the first episode, because this is the thing. When Rebels happened, people were up in arms because Clone Wars got canceled.
Right.
Because Disney bought it.
Right.
And the first thing that Disney produced was Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
Star Wars Rebels came before Force Awakens. Star Wars Rebels came before The Last Jedi. Everybody now is, oh, I love it. I love it. If you go back and look at your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed or whatever feed, I guarantee, you know, you're going to have a James Gunn moment where you're going to go, damn, why did I post that?
Right.
Because you hated it. So, I guarantee that you either went, I don't know if this is going to be any good, or you went, you know, I'm not going to stick with this because I love Clone Wars. Let me say that you love it now. So shut up about Resistance until you actually watch it.
So with Rebels, I didn't watch until there were 6 episodes out, and I watched it in a giant chunk because you know how I feel about shows.
Right.
Like, I don't judge anything by its pilot.
Right.
Unless it's just god awful and it's a bad story. But like, I tend to not judge anything by its pilot, and I give half hour shows 6 episodes and hour shows 3.
Yeah.
So I will dedicate 3 hours to a show to find out if I like it or not. And if you haven't caught me by the third episode, you know, there's exceptions, like Breaking Bad. I didn't really get into Breaking Bad until I got to the point where Gus Fring showed up.
Oh, okay.
And before that, I was like, I'm just not into this at all. And then, you know, having stuck through and watched all of it, it's like, okay, now I understand the first season.
Sure.
So with Rebels, like, the minute. Like, I liked Ezra right away.
Sure.
And I fell in love with the idea of Kanan. He didn't become my favorite character for a little while, but, like, I definitely fell in love with the idea. And then I loved Hera because of who her dad was.
Well, he had been on Clone Wars.
Right.
You know.
And so it's like, all right, cool. And I liked it.
She was the bait character.
She absolutely
was.
She
literally was the clickbait. So she was clickbait of that.
I liked the show moderately. And part of it was when the last battle with Kanan and the Inquisitor.
Yeah.
And he is shooting the lightsaber and blocking at the same time.
Finale
right,
the season finale of the first season.
And at that point,
where
I was
Jedis
like,
go to die.
Right, no kidding. But at that point, I was 100% all in.
Sure.
And when the season two finale, The Twilight of the Apprentice,
yeah,
it became my favorite Star Wars cartoon
right
at that point.
Yeah. I think, like, for me, I'm open to pretty much any Star
right
Wars because I lived during the dark times.
Yeah.
When there was no
well, all
Star
we had
Wars
were books and comics.
Books and comics.
So, like,
and
just
not all of them were good.
I finished Thrawn Alliances,
yeah,
the second book.
I
and
haven't
it's
started
like,
it yet.
It was really
started
good, and I liked it. And I won't spoil anything
right
for you, but it was very cool, and I'm very happy that I read it. But you're right; there was so much dark time for us as fans, where, you know, we either had to seek out the comics or read the books, and, you know, it's a very visual story.
Because what, Jedi was 84.
Uh-huh.
83.
84.
Around there. I think it was 83.
No, Empire was 83.
No, Empire was 80.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it was 80 and 84. But
right. What is this? This year, 35th anniversary of Return of the Jedi is this year.
Is it?
Yeah, because I bought some stuff at Disney that was 35th anniversary. So from 83 until 1999.
When episode one came out.
1992-ish. There wasn't enough Star Wars.
Oh,
to
right
say
right,
you know, the appetite.
Oh, that.
That's when Thrawn was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
When Herald of the Empire came out. And it's like, oh my God, could they make a movie of this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, those books, I ate those books a lot.
Yeah.
And
I just reread the first one.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's just that thing that, like, you know, we didn't have Star Wars for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was stuff, but there wasn't enough. Be happy that you get Star Wars all the time.
Right.
If you're a Star Wars fan now, be happy that you get Star Wars all the time, because they could shut it down.
Yeah.
And then you don't get anything.
Nope.
And you'll know how we felt.
Maybe that's what they should do.
I've thought that. Did Disney just shut it down for a while?
Just say, hey, we're taking 7 to 10 years with no Star Wars.
Right.
You guys can go F off.
Yeah.
So, well,
we'll do books and we'll do comic books.
Well, like,
Kelly. And they didn't even do comic books. I mean, comic books weren't around until 91, 92 when Dark Horse got it.
Yeah.
Because Marvel didn't have it.
Right.
Marvel stopped when the movies stopped.
Right.
And
it was an IP that was just in limbo.
Yeah. It was pretty much like, you know, George locked himself in a room and didn't let anybody come in.
No one can play with my toys.
Yeah. And when, what, Dark Empire, I think, was the first major story mm-hmm. they did. And that thing blew it out of the water, too.
Yeah.
It's like, it was literally the fans who were probably 5-10 years older than me got an opportunity because they had made names for themselves in either comic book genre or the novel genre, and wrote the movies they wanted to see.
Right.
And it was the movie I wanted to see. You know,
right,
a super giant Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that before Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that gunship that they had at the beginning of Last
mm-hmm.
Jedi. Because the Emperor and the Dark Empire books had a Star Destroyer that was the size of a planet,
right,
pretty much.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think that people should just be happy that they get Star Wars. And if you don't want to watch Resistance, that's fine, because they did the fan service for you and gave you a Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Clone Wars is just fan service for the, you know, negativity of the fans who weren't happy with The Last Jedi and,
sure,
you know, are obviously not happy with Resistance and that. And, you know, there's the people who love the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the people who love the second trilogies. I don't have anything against any of you.
No.
But stop being negative against this stuff, because there's kids now that
this will be their first introduction to Star Wars.
Yeah, this will be their Star Wars. And you're making it where they're not going to even care.
It's not fun for anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Stop being sports fans. It's not my team. It's not my team.
I'm, you know,
the Cleveland Browns that are playing now are not my Cleveland Browns, because my Cleveland Browns went to Baltimore.
Right.
Right. See, that's what that's the argument that comes down to.
Right.
Is that a lot of the nerds now have turned into sports fans.
And probably worse.
Probably worse. Oh,
you know,
much worse, because they're a mob.
Mm-hmm.
Sports fans aren't as much of a mob. I mean, you know, I know that just from knowing a lot of sports fans. You know, unless you're in England and you're a soccer, then it turns into a mob.
You're a soccer hooligan. Yeah. Soccer hooligan in Scotland.
Is that what they call them?
Soccer hooligans. Them, well, I don't know if that's what they call them, but like, you know, you've never heard the phrase Scottish soccer hooligan or anything.
Even the negativity that happens with sports is nothing like the negativity that I've seen over the last year with Last Jedi and now Resistance.
So like Kelly Marie Tran left and deleted her Instagram, which.
Well, Ruby Rose did too now.
Right. Well,
because of the Batwoman.
Right.
Thing.
But
and I'm like, what is going on?
So this is kind of, it's similar cases, but it's really two different things. Like Kelly Marie Tran got attacked and Ruby Rose got attacked for absolutely no reason.
Right. They play characters.
Like it's not Kelly Marie Tran's fault that Rian Johnson did not do enough
with her character
for that part of the B story.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That lands solely on Rian Johnson, and it has nothing to do with her being Asian. It has nothing to do with her being a woman.
No.
I thought she was super likable.
Yeah.
And I said this in our review. I thought she was very likable. I feel like they wasted her.
Yeah. Like she didn't even need to be there.
Like, I think if you pit her and if you know they're all about fan service, right?
Yeah.
If they would have put her and John Boyega in a room with Billy Dee Williams.
Everybody would have been like, we love her.
It's a completely different thing, right? Yeah, because Billy Dee's
Lando's
like
flirting with her the whole time. And
who are you?
Yeah.
And, you know,
hello,
it's.
What do we have here?
Hello.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a completely different story. Instead, they went with this whole whatever message he was trying to get across that just kind of fell flat on its face on Canto Bright with the.
All
you
the
know,
environmentalist message.
Well, it wasn't really. It was like,
don't treat the animals mean. Don't
it,
treat
it
the
was,
kids
it was
mean.
That. It was the like the class warfare type
well,
thing.
It was,
and
it was the idea of setting up the whole idea of Jedi will continue.
Right.
If you were going to do that, then you should have shown that kid in that scene
mm-hmm.
with Finn and what was her name?
Rose.
Rose. That's it. And why give her a Star Wars name? Don't give her an Earth name.
Right.
You know, so the kid in that scene should have done something Force.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been like, oh, shit.
And that's why she gave him the ring.
And everybody would have been like, oh, shit, what the hell is this? So. Like, literally, the fans would have probably fallen out of their seats like, wait, there's other Jedi?
Well, and I think this is the
this
thing.
This isn't the world of Highlander. There isn't the there can be only one.
So this is where it gets lost in the Star Wars kind of mythos, right?
Yeah.
Like. Because the saga films focus so much on the Skywalker clan,
sure, yeah.
To you know, steal a little thing
Let's
from
keep
Highlander,
going Highlander,
there, right?
You said mythos too. So.
I know that I did said. That. That was definitely a pun intended there. Because they focus so much on the Skywalkers. If you haven't read the expanded stuff, if you haven't watched Clone Wars, if you haven't read the comics, you don't really understand like who and how big the Jedi are and were. And when I say, and let me rephrase that, you don't realize how big and far stretched the Force users are, in Star Wars,
right?
Because the whole idea of Jedi and Sith is so short sighted to what the reality of a galaxy that large would be.
Sure, yeah.
Because there are going to be people who have the Force and who inherently use it for good, and there are people who have the Force and inherently use it for bad. They're neither Sith nor Jedi, nor can you call them necessarily a gray because they don't know what they're doing because they haven't been trained.
Right. If you're looking at it from the point of view of that kid, especially that kid.
Right.
Ezra Bridger Jr.
Right.
There's no Jedi Academy in this world.
No.
And all your Jedi that would have known about the old history are gone.
Right.
I mean, Luke's gone.
Yeah.
He's a ghost.
I mean, he sequestered himself because of his failure. Which is what Jedi do.
Yeah.
Like, let's not pretend like the Jedi were this great, like, stand-up organization that when the chips were down is when they shone brightest.
Right.
When the chips were down, they ran and hid.
Yeah. Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Well, I mean, just.
And Eth Koth and
everybody
else
that's
shown up in Darth Vader
and
every other book now.
So, at the end of the day. I don't
the
want
the Emperor
to...
sucked at that too.
Right.
Like he sucked at everything.
Oh,
he
yeah.
couldn't even get Order 66 to work right.
Right. In the Darth Vader comic, one of the he was a former Padawan, right? And he was parading around as a Jedi Master on Mon Cala.
Yeah. And was that in the Vader book? I haven't read that.
Well,
yet,
anyway, so these clones like close in on them.
Yeah.
And he just looks at him and goes, you know, execute order 66.
Yeah.
And they start firing and he's like running through. So they're firing on each other.
Right.
Right. Because he figured it out. Right. It was kind of cool. And well, I didn't ruin anything. Cause that scene's way better.
Yeah. I know about that story. I just, right. You know,
The Darth Vader book is hands down the best Star Wars comic right now. It's so good.
It's better to read it in 5 or 6 book chunks.
I can't even wait. Like I have to just go. I don't even download. Oh, I download it, but like I read it in the car before I leave. That's my new Invincible.
Oh, okay.
To read in the car before I take off.
Well, that's a good comment on that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Resistance, I want it to be like Rogue One, where maybe there's an idea of the Force. And there's an idea of Force users, but there's not a lot of focus on Jedi
right.
or Sith or Dark Jedi or whatever you want to call
right.
it, right? I wanted to focus on the Resistance, meaning hitting the because, you know, I mean, I've read most of the new canon
you've
books.
Read most of the books.
Okay, so the reason the Resistance exists is because Mon Mothma decided the New Republic wasn't going to have any army.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything really to defend the galaxy.
Right.
In the aftermath of what they've left behind.
Right.
And so this is why the First Order can rise up. And then once they do, they stick to the Outer Rim and people don't believe they exist. They don't believe that they exist.
Right.
And so this is where Leia comes to Poe and she says, "Hey, your mom flew in the A-Wing and helped Lando blow up the Death Star.
Yeah, your mom and dad served with us.
Luke entrusted your mom with a freaking Jedi tree.
Yeah.
You know, this, you
hopefully
are.
That gets explained in this.
I just wanted to get explained in something.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to be my guy.
Right.
And, you know, and he doesn't relinquish his commission from the Imperial Navy.
Right.
Until, like, long after he's been doing stuff for the Resistance.
Right. Yeah.
So it even in his comic, I mean, it was rare. Like where his comic starts.
Yeah.
It's relatively recent that he wasn't like working for both organizations.
He had just like gone over to the Resistance. At
right.
That point.
Full time. Because
they were like, trying to look for Lorsan Tech. Or whatever.
So he was like a contractor.
Right.
For the Resistance.
Yeah.
And then he became an FTE for the Resistance and quit with the Navy.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much like a good way of putting it, because he was on your off time, you do what you want.
Right.
And even if you're serving in the military,
right,
on your off time.
Yeah, you have furlough, you have downtime. Yeah.
So that's where this kid comes in, is the kid is doing the job that Poe can't do.
Right, because he's so recognizable.
Right.
And because he's commissioned
part of the Republic
in
military.
The Republic Navy.
Yeah.
So now the interesting thing is the ships.
They look cool.
They look awesome.
Yeah.
And hopefully they give us space battles that are as good, if not better, than what we got on Rebels.
Sure.
The Clone Wars did space battles really well. Don't get me wrong. But Rebels, man, she flew that freighter like it was a fighter.
Right, yeah.
And it was awesome. And then she did the, you know, the four-dimensional fighting when she was in the X-Wing, which finally we got to see, you know, linear fighting.
You know, even though Dave Filoni is not directly involved with this.
Filoni. You always say Filoni.
Sorry, Dave.
Just call him Cowboy Dave.
I don't think he wants to be called Cowboy Dave.
Yeah, Cowboy Dave with his hat.
No.
I don't know.
Mr.
Filoni?
Yeah.
There you go.
Mr. Dave.
Yeah.
So he's taking a step back from this and letting people that have worked for him on the other shows
do the day to day.
Yeah. They're running the show. Mm-hmm. They're the showrunners. But he created the show.
Yeah.
It was his idea.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are you complaining? This is the guy who worked under George Lucas, learned how to do storytelling on Clone Wars, knocked it out of the park with Rebels, and then came up with an idea for something to do with explaining where Poe Dameron came from.
Right.
Where Captain Phasma came from. And was given the okay to do it. I'd say that is, you know, a good degree.
Yeah, he's got a great pedigree. So I don't get it. I don't understand it.
And obviously he's working with Jon Favreau on the new live action show.
Yeah.
Because him and Jon were in a picture on the internet.
So, you know, you hear a lot of people saying that they want him to run Disney Studios, or not Disney, Star Wars, or Lucasfilm, for Disney. And, you know, the reason Kathleen Kennedy is in charge at Lucasfilm is because she learned at the heel of Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, she was part of Amblin.
She has produced, she's been a producer on some pretty amazing films.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. E.T. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Yeah. Now, does she have black marks on her record? Yes.
Does anybody in Hollywood not have
black marks? No, that's the thing. Now, you know, people get all up in arms, and I've said this probably 100 times. The most egregious thing on her record, it has nothing to do with Star Wars. It's the fact that she was a producer on Last Airbender.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, that right there, to me, is the thing where I'm like, oh, well, hold on. I don't think she should lose her job at Lucasfilm at that, but she definitely is not allowed to touch the Airbender universe ever again.
And there's nobody that said she's losing
no.
her job.
Well, no. But right. You know, but there are people who call for that, right?
I'm sure when
these angry net nerds.
When they're bagging groceries, they're doing a terrible job too.
Hey, not everybody is on 100% of the time.
Yo, I am.
False. Anyway.
What's your name, Dwight Schrute now?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay.
See, I'm on. Boom.
Boom. You got it back. So, the other thing is Phasma is going to show up in this series.
Well,
because Gwendolyn Christie.
This is going to be the origin of First Order, too, kind of.
Probably. I'm so hopeful. Okay, so the book is apparently canon. The Phasma book. And the Phasma comic is canon.
Uh-huh.
And there is a point in The Last Jedi where she shoots a bunch of the First Order troopers.
Yeah.
Like, that is very much in line with her character from the book and the comic.
Right.
I really hope that that's the way they go with her. Because she's the baddest woman in the galaxy.
Right.
Like, you do not want to run into her in a well-lit alley, a dark alley, a crowded room, an empty room. Like, there's at no time do you want to run into her and be on her bad side.
We haven't seen that.
And we have not. So I'm really hoping we get that now.
Right.
And who knows if she's gone in the movies. Like, you know, she fell into a pit.
A fire.
We've seen people fall into pits before and, you
Boba
know.
Boba Fett never came out of
that
pit.
Yeah. So
now,
I don't know.
Now Boba Fett never came out of that pit.
Right. So.
Boba Fett during the.
I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's one of these things.
Dengar rescued him.
Yeah. Because Dengar is the better bodyguard bounty hunter.
Dengar was his best friend.
Right.
Which I always thought was a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give this a shot. Obviously.
I'm willing to give anything Star Wars a shot. You're gonna either be, you know, Empire Strikes Back, or you're gonna be Star Wars Ewoks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you that, Star Wars fanboys. Oh, God. Go back and watch Droids and Ewoks and tell me that they were good.
Yeah.
And that, and I'll argue that one with
those
you.
Those two horrible movies where that family was stuck on Endor or on the forest.
Oh, yeah. The Ewok movies?
Yeah. Those were awful.
What about the Christmas special?
The what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The only thing,
I don't
the
know.
The only
what
quality
what?
Thing from the Christmas special was the animation when they introduced Boba Fett.
You're
that story was cool.
About a Christmas.
That should be released. Special. I'm sorry, but that should be released.
Are you saying like
actually I would buy a box set that was and as bad as I just said they were, I would buy a box set that had
all of
the
those.
Ewok
yeah.
Adventures, the holiday special, the full season of Droids and the full season of Ewoks on Blu-ray. I would buy it. And just because it's sentimental.
Disney streaming service.
Yeah, that's where they'll be.
That's where they should be. All right.
Watching Carrie Fisher sing on that holiday special.
Yeah.
Was like watching, you know, a train wreck in slow motion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just, you know, as an adult, you watch it and you're like, man, there was an executive sitting in a room going, what could go wrong? Her dad's Eddie Fisher and her mom's Debbie Reynolds. She can sing.
False. Anywho. All
smack
right.
Smack my head. And Mark Hamill hadn't fully healed from his car accident.
No. God. He hadn't. So, all right, let's talk mini lion robots.
They're not mini lions.
I know. It's that line from Deadpool.
Oh, God.
The first Deadpool, not the second Deadpool.
Still. It's Anywho. Deadpool.
Okay, so season 7 hit on August 10th. So we are going to give some spoilers for the first half of the season. There's certain things I don't want to ruin for people. But
not to give any spoilers.
There's just a couple things that we're going to need to spoil to have some of my points make sense.
What, like 3 decafeebs?
Yes, which is 3 years.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just so you've watched the first half now.
Yeah.
I've watched the first half now. I went through it the last 2 days. This was my 3rd time watching, so.
Could you watch something else once in a while?
I do. I watched Tag the other night. I watched Upgrade last night. I watched
Babylon 5 or something so we could talk about that. I'll go back and watch it if you watch it. It's going to take a while. It's got 5 years worth of content.
Are they 22 episode
seasons?
Yeah,
22 episodes.
See, that's where you get me, right?
There's like, enough story content in
No, it's just when it gets past like 13 episodes,
short attention span.
I can't even anymore.
Short attention span.
So, yeah. I will, you know what, it's on Amazon. I tell you what, I will watch when you go on vacation, between now and when you get back from vacation in September.
Watch the movie.
Is that on
it
Amazon?
It should be on there. It was the premiere.
Okay.
So if it's the 2-hour movie, and forgive the makeup effects and all that stuff because
again,
not,
it's a pilot.
They're not that good in that pilot.
I don't judge makeup or effects or you know.
A Call to Arms.
Yeah.
Is on there. I don't know if that's on there or not.
Okay.
So that was the. When TNT bought
mm-hmm.
Babylon 5 or, you know, took Babylon 5 over, they did a movie that was pretty much like the second pilot, I guess you could call it, that explained everything you needed to know if you hadn't watched Babylon 5.
I see.
And then you go back and watch the pilot, which is not that good compared to
right.
it, and then you watch Babylon 5.
Okay.
And it all makes sense of why Babylon 5 is what it is. And then the story builds
yeah.
from there.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Watch the pilot.
Yeah.
Cuz I don't think there's any podcast talking about Babylon 5.
No, probably not.
No.
So we can be that one.
You might actually get some people to listen.
The Babblecast.
Right.
So this season was actually 13 episodes. You watched the first 6. You have 7 to go, 2 of which are part of a 2-parter. Actually, there's 2 2-parters left.
Are there?
Yeah. So.
Okay. I don't like that. It's
well,
it's a Netflix show.
Right.
Why do you need part 1, part 2?
Just make it an hour-long episode.
Not even that. Just make them episodes and it leads right into the next
yeah.
one like every other episode of Ultron does.
Yeah.
It makes sense?
It does.
Yeah. Because it's not like right now I'm watching Castle Rock.
Okay.
Castle Rock is 1 episode per week, like 11/22/63 was.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a cliffhanger, you're literally like, if you're watching it weekly, you're like, oh, dang, I got to wait. And with stuff like Netflix doing Voltron, you don't have to wait.
The
so
next,
why is it
the
part
next
one,
episode
part two?
Literally spools
literally,
right
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right over.
So. Well, there's a reason that's part 1 and part 2, and it's not because it ends on a cliffhanger necessarily. It's just they ran out of time and had to do it.
Right.
All right, but you didn't make it that far, so right. Let's not worry about that. Because
just saying.
The more I talk about it, the closer I am to spoiling something for you, which I don't want to do.
I will flip a table.
Yeah, I'd appreciate you not doing that. So.
Right.
All right, so we kick off, and the lions
we start
are,
right where we end it with
they're low on
season.
Power.
Yeah. They're on the planet. Shiro's white haired and in medical need.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to find something to power the lions to at least get off the planet that
Futonium?
They've been on.
Plutonium? Funtonium, something like that was
yeah,
the it was
yeah.
it started with an F.
Plutonium.
Plutonium. So the coolest thing about this first episode was it kept going back and forth between the present and the past.
Right. It was literally like it was his dreams. Like he was dreaming.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that at first. Like at first you were just like, oh, it's just flashbacks. And that we're getting flashbacks.
Right, right.
But then you start realizing that it's his dreams.
And then you realize it's Keith and Shiro's origin story of why they're so close.
Yeah.
There are people on the internet who ship those two.
What do you mean?
Like,
oh, like they're
ship, yeah. You know, get them together. And
are you talking like the,
like Call Me By Your Name,
the fan fiction?
Yeah.
Like the, Winchester brothers are more than brothers.
Right, right, right. So,
and that, so I'm sure some of them were like, oh, because of what you find out about Shiro.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about that for a sec, but before we do that, the whole story of why Keith is where he is and why he rescued
now.
Right. And why he rescued Shiro in the pilot.
Yeah.
Makes it, you know, like you knew they were close, right?
Yeah.
But Shiro literally pulled him out of the spiral he was in after his dad died,
right,
and gave him a purpose.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool to watch and see Keith from the emo kid, as they called him.
Yeah, they literally called him that. I'm like, isn't this a future? Wouldn't you have some other name besides emo kid?
I don't know. Emo kid is a pretty strong name for kids who act like that. So it was the emo kid all the way to, I think I'm going to be patient and learn, and how he learned to do that trick with the speeder bike off of the cliff.
Yeah.
When him and Shiro were racing. That was really awesome. A really awesome callback to the first episode.
It's been a while since I watched the first episode.
Okay.
I don't go back and watch stuff on a repeat basis like you do.
I don't watch lots of stuff. Just a few things. Anyway. I mean, I watch lots
of
stuff.
There's a lot of content out there that you should watch, though, yeah, that you don't watch because you watch stuff over and over.
You're probably right about that.
Right.
But I read
at this
more
point you should
comics and stuff.
Well, that's fine that you read. Yeah, you're okay. But
I read books.
Yeah, but you watch like Chuck over and over again.
Actually,
you should have that in your engrams at this point.
It's in my intersect in
right,
my head.
Yeah.
So, I see random things and I get Chuck flashes.
I literally could watch like the first minute of every Star Trek: The Next Generation episode and tell you what episode it is just by star date 4-9 blah blah blah. I'd be like, oh yeah, this is the one where they do that.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. And that should be Chuck for you. You should just like
it's close.
The first like previously on Chuck. And you should be like, this is that episode where, you know, Superman shows up.
This is where Chuck uses the Intersect to save Sarah and Jane.
This is where he joins a mariachi band.
This is where Morgan gets the Intersect.
Yeah.
So it was really, really cool to see, and I really liked it. And so the controversial part is they introduced Adam.
I don't think it was controversial.
It was because.
How so?
Okay. So they introduced Adam.
I mean, did the internet explode and I didn't miss it? I wish it would
not
explode.
Far enough. Okay. I'm going to tread lightly with how.
Adam is in the. They're going
Adam,
to Earth.
Adam is Shiro's.
Back up. Right.
Yeah. Adam is Shiro's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea was Adam wasn't around long enough in that episode.
Well,
that
right,
people were
because,
mad about.
Because a lot of the stuff in that episode is prelude to stuff that's going to happen.
It is.
Because they introduced.
Definitely foreshadowing.
They literally introduced Shiro's commander.
Mm-hmm.
They showed Pidge's dad.
Right.
As a military officer. So I'm like, okay, we're setting up stuff.
Well, Iverson we met in the first episode.
But I mean,
like the guy with the eye sewn shut. But we met the female admiral who's in charge of the galactic garrison or the galaxy.
Plus,
garrison.
We showed a bunch of vehicles. One episode had like 14 vehicles in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wonder what that means.
I don't know. I think you're reading into things.
No, I'm not. Why would you introduce a ship that doesn't even matter named a Calypso? And it looks like the chest plate of a vehicle Voltron.
Well, because the Calypso was the ship that they took.
It's going to be the chest plate of the
vehicle
Voltron.
Or no, the Calypso was the first.
It's going to be the chest plate of the vehicle Voltron. I'm just like, come on, guys. the bikes, the flying bikes. And
so, but the flying bikes
Shira's
were in the
car,
pilot. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, they're setting this up for.
So there was that. And then
the
B story.
Technology to build a castle of lions that also is the technology to build a Voltron.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, it, and, you know, like I said, no spoilers, but I was literally sitting there going, oh, we might actually get Vehicle Voltron, because I'm like, you know, they've got the technology. It's 3 Dekafeebs later.
Mm-hmm.
They've had time to build something.
So
I'm like, maybe we won't get the full-blown Vehicle Voltron, but we're going to get something like Lotor's thing. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, that's something mm-hmm. to look forward to. But it's like, the first 6 episodes are so drawn out for this season that I was like, man, I said, we've got to stop. I'm like, I need a rest.
So,
because there was a lot.
It's intense. It was really intense.
It was more just information overload.
Like, you watched Gravity, right?
No, I've never watched Gravity.
Okay. Dude, engage and watch some other stuff sometimes.
I watch a lot of stuff.
I'm kidding.
I've heard that's not a good movie.
So the thing about Gravity is it is super, super intense because she's jumping from, like, space debris to space debris.
And it's literally, like, just rotating around the Earth.
As she's And she's not the best astronaut because she was, I think she was... She wasn't like a school teacher, but she was not.
Sure.
Anywho. And she's hallucinating George Clooney the whole time. So she's
having error issues.
Well, she's just losing her mind because she has a mental break.
Right.
Yeah,
because not everybody can be as strong as Matt Damon on Mars. Boom.
Or the Voltron Paladins in space. Right. Anywho.
No, Matt Damon was by himself, too.
He was, too, yeah.
And he didn't talk to anybody. He just lost a whole lot of weight.
And ate a whole lot of potatoes made out of his own poop.
Listen to a lot of 70s disco music.
I think I just take my pressure suit off, and just walk out onto Mars.
What's his name?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Andy Dufresne.
Yeah.
You totally do an Andy Dufresne?
But I would just like with all that disco music.
That's a
music,
Mission to Mars reference, but I can't remember his name.
Oh, Tim Robbins.
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
I forgot about Mission to Mars. That, like... If I were stuck with just disco, that's what I would
do. We should do an episode that's the most heartbreaking moments in sci-fi.
So I was thinking best sci-fi or just best...
underrated sci-fi, definitely.
Well, we should definitely do that. But I was thinking an episode about the best franchises, movie franchises.
Yeah.
So that would be a good one. All right. So the Little Adventures, the last thing, is they do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Which was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And Karan is hilarious. And the new Altan was like, is this what the legendary Altans were all like?
Yeah,
And Hung's like, I don't know. We only know two of them. Yeah. And she's like, why are we doing this? And Hung's like, I don't know. I always ask that. Yeah. And they never answer it. And then she's like, we just shrunk and Shiro's and blah, blah, blah. We're moving on. He's just like, they just like to move on.
Yeah, just move
on. It was so funny
like,
to see.
Like, literally, she was saying everything that Hunk says, but Hunk's like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I've been saying that forever.
I've been saying that for 7 seasons.
Yeah.
So that first episode was a really good kickoff home, and then, or kickoff back, and then they start, you know, their journey to Earth.
We're going
which
home.
Is
going
to take 150,000 years. I mean,
no,
1.5 years. So, Karan and his finger math.
Like, when he's doing the math, I'm like, mm-hmm. you're going to totally
because he did that in the first episode. He's done that in a few episodes where he does the finger math, and he's always wrong, and Pidge corrects him, which is one of the best things about Pidge. One thing I noticed is with the Katie, like the Pidge character, mm-hmm. They feminized her a little bit more.
Her hair's getting longer.
Her hair and then her mannerisms.
Well, right. But her hair's getting longer.
And because, like, you know, she hasn't pretended to be a boy.
How long have they actually been away from Earth?
Not counting the three years. I was going to say at least 3 years. I want to say it's probably close to 5 years.
So she's aged 8 years.
Yeah.
So she was like...
Well, did they age? Because for them it seemed like
an
instant.
Well, they time-jumped the 3 years.
Right.
So she's aged 5 years. So when they came on the mission, she was about 10, 11?
No, she was older than that. She had to be old enough to get into the Galaxy Garrison.
How old do you got to be to get into the Galaxy Garrison? Do you know?
Teenager?
Do you know?
No.
She's a genius.
But she also was there under false pretenses. So.
And her dad was in the Galaxy Garrison.
But she didn't go in as Katie Holt. She went as Pidge Newberry or whatever her last name was.
Right.
Or his last name.
But a genius.
Pidge. Anyway, yeah. All right. So.
Youngest kid ever in the Galaxy Garrison.
Maybe. Who knows? So.
Somebody knew that Pidge was who she was.
Maybe.
That's why they let her in.
Maybe. Who knows?
Or him.
I'm
so confused now.
This episode was, or not this episode, this first part of the season was really, really intense.
Well, it was literally
and you're saying it's drawn
questions
out.
That, like, you need answered, but you have to do it where it's like, stretch that story. Like, stretch that story because we have to answer, like, the first thing we find out. They jumped ahead 3 years.
Well, we didn't find that till the second episode.
Well, right. But that's like the first major plot point we find
and,
out.
But you don't even find it out until midway through.
Right.
So.
But already I suspected it.
Well, yeah, because when
everybody's
Gaara...
like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Where have you been? Like, literally everybody's like, where have you been?
Well, but they all thought they'd been gone for weeks.
And we've lost contact with the
Blade of
Voltron
Amora.
Alliance, yep. The Blade of Amora. Can't contact Earth. So I'm like, did they fall into the parallel universe was the first thing I thought. And then I'm like, that would mean the Altaians are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get Sven back again. But then I was like, no, they time traveled. And I'm like, oh, man, they time traveled. And I was thinking, like, until Lotor's girls showed up. Because that's what I call them, Lotor's girls.
Right.
Until Lotor's girls showed up, I thought, oh, did they jump like 20 years or something?
Right.
And I'm thinking, this is going to like suck for them. And then when they reveal in that episode, because Lotor's the three surviving members of Lotor's troops were pirates now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, what happened?
Well, the two were pirates and the other was a...
Well, she was part of their group, and
she decided she didn't want to be... She was a stowaway or whatever.
Well, no, yeah. She was on there. Yeah. She was part of their group, and she decided she didn't want to be with them anymore.
So, okay. She's somebody to Keith.
His girlfriend.
Well, she's not his sister because...
Well, now we know that. Yeah, because you know, her mom...
His mom was
like,
there.
Daughter?
Mother?
Yeah.
So...
And Keith would have been like, what?
And remember, she was the one who was helping him and Hunk get the... stuff out of the inside of that monster.
Right.
So I think she's got a thing for Keith.
Well, right. Yeah. So. Well, at this point, so do her friends who aren't her friends anymore.
Right.
And that who I guess are in a relationship too. That's the way it came off. Because she said,
when she said, I'll always protect you.
You're yeah. always my girl.
Yeah. And
I'm like, okay, when did that happen?
So maybe, I don't know. I mean,
and
I think,
how does she lose an eye?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that it was left
because the pirate
kind of
has
ambiguous.
To have
right. Exactly. Well, that's how you know she's a pirate.
Well, that's that, like, you know, when we could let's broaden that conversation. Yeah. Playmates canceled all the figures, everything. And I'm like, I'm very disappointed because I was hoping we would get those characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we're not going to get anything.
Like, anymore. I wanted Coran. I wanted.
Oh, yeah,
know,
sure.
I wanted
all the Voltron Force.
I wanted. I wanted Lotor
you wanted
for sure.
Meba beeps.
Bebo beep.
Bebo beeps.
So. Bebo beep. Bebo beep. Bebo beep. So, so that was like the 2 and 3 are kind of a 2-part episode because, that damn gravity gun gets them every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. You know, they never see it coming, and they get captured, and then
crap happens.
You know, Coran was locked in the essentially cupboard. Of the Black Lion, which was pretty funny. And this is where we learn about the wolf's teleporting powers.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the third. So we're just kind of moving on to
I thought in the second episode he was doing it because he was moving people around.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah. When the wolf
was like he strategically moved people to the lions that they should be on.
Right.
And everybody was like, wait, where did you come from? And it's like the wolf's doing it.
Yep. And then later on when the wolf is their breakfast delivery service was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
that's because he's not totally attached to the time.
Oh, in episode 2, the dog fight on the or the cat fight, if you will, on the ice planet where they're flying through. Yeah. Like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
And that's where the wolf first started. Right, yeah. Like, really.
Well, like,
he
started
really
moving people around. I'm yep. like, he's moving them strategically to mm-hmm. where they need to be.
Right.
At
and
that
then,
moment.
But then he, like, jumped into the Galra ships.
I don't think he is totally attached to the time.
Yeah,
line.
I don't,
like,
I don't
he
know.
He can see stuff, maybe.
He's a cosmic wolf. Because yeah. he came from that spot where time and
right.
space are
so that's
fluid.
What I'm like,
so
he might have more value than they know.
Yeah.
Type thing. Yeah, and then he started jumping in Galra ships and causing them to crash.
Yeah,
like,
that was pretty awesome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So then, you know, they get away. They have one more person now, with Keith's girlfriend.
Yeah. Another ally.
Yeah. So it seems like the Voltron Coalition has fallen.
I don't think it's fallen.
Or it's in hiding,
it's
maybe.
Into something else.
And so.
Well, they said the Galra Empire is totally, like, gone crazy.
Yeah.
Pirates, mercenaries, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff. So that empire doesn't even exist at this point.
Right.
So the Voltron Alliance could be the new Galra Empire?
Maybe. I don't know. But so the thing I liked is in episode 3, the time joke was revealed. And then we got Galra Karan.
Yeah,
where he did what Allura did. Where he changed to, but he didn't change his height. He just changed
his
color. And he decided to take the guy's handkerchief or like scarf,
like took his whole costume.
Yeah, he
took
the whole costume.
Recognized that,
but they recognized the
scarf,
and it's like, dude, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. And he's always like, oh,
what are you doing with that?
I want it from him in whatever checkers. And they're like, he doesn't play that game. And he goes, yeah, because he stinks at it.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really funny.
And they were like, yeah, he does stink at it.
Yeah. So that was good. And then episode 4 is called The Feud.
Yeah.
And episode 4 was pretty
literally
epic.
The Dungeons and Dragons episode for this.
Like, they have to do this now for the rest of the seasons, is they have to do one of these like
weird
episodes. Bob, enough said. Bob was great. I love the whole Family Feud thing.
It's interesting because he's some kind of deity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because when they mention Bob, Coran's like, Bob?
Bob?
Yeah.
You know him? Oh, I've never
heard
met
about
him.
Bob in a long time.
Yeah, I've never met him.
Yeah, never met him, but we've heard about him. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was.
And it's like, the consequences of that were like, we just got entertained.
It was, but there was foreshadowing too for things that happened later
right,
on
yeah.
with how close they become
like
this
Lance
season.
Is the dumb one.
They've called me the dumb one like 18 times. They only said it 4 times.
Yeah.
Dummy.
when
seeing,
they put him in the pool of grease.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's kind of nice. It's warm in here. Yeah. And yeah, until your skin burns off.
Yeah. So. It was a really, really good episode. And we got a lot of faces from the past. Rabbit Sal's, the restaurant from the mall. And, you know.
The commercials were like.
The commercials were great.
Like, why are we doing. Who came up with the idea that let's do a weird episode every season? And it's like, and how is it that it's actually entertaining me?
So this is where, like, if you go back to Avatar, right?
Yeah.
This is where the Ember Islands players went wrong.
Yeah.
Like, because it was right there at the end of the season. And it was like, all right, they're here. They're getting ready for their final battle. And all of a sudden, they're watching their story.
Yeah.
And on paper, it's like, yeah, that sounds really cool. And
yeah.
I just think, for me, that's one of those ones that just didn't land. You know, one of the few
right.
that didn't land. But, yeah, it was the animation was so good in this. And, you know.
Well, and what? This was the fourth episode.
Number 4, yes.
Yeah, which directly affects the 6th episode.
Yes.
Because they're pretty much told, you guys are a team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work as a team.
Right.
That's why the game was the way the game was.
Yeah.
Is that because Bob was telling them.
Maybe Bob saw what was going to happen and,
Bob,
you know,
Bob
changed
is, you know,
the course of history.
The all-knowing Bob.
So.
All hail Bob.
Yeah, it was great. And then I thought episode 5 was really good because we got the question of
what
answered
to
the question to
the
what was that Blade of Memora.
Yeah.
Where
did they go?
And it was a callback to the guy he fought in season 1.
Well, right.
When they found the Quintessence.
Yeah.
So, man, I do know too much about this, don't I?
You've watched too much of this.
Anyway.
Well, and the thing was, is like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. When they showed the, you know, how's your hand?
When he said that,
how's
yeah.
your hand? And they show that flash. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was that guy.
Yeah.
It's like, but that guy was just one of the guys.
Yeah,
one
he
of the,
was just one,
one
of Hagar's.
Of Hagar's guys. But I like the thing where they're like, where's Hagar? It's like, why, do you guys know where Hagar is? Because we don't know where Hagar is.
And last time we saw Hagar, she wasn't Hagar. She was right, a good Altaian, or well, an Altaian. Yeah, she regained her Altaianism.
Yeah.
She sounds like a disease.
She's out there in the mythos.
I loved I loved Keith's mom's training that she put them through at the beginning. And then the sword fight between him and Keith and the wolf.
Yeah.
Was one, it was done awesomely.
Well, it was that perspective, you know. That's the thing, is like a lot of the CG animation doesn't catch on to his perspective.
Right.
You know, and being a student of old art, because now everything's done on Cintiqs. And
right.
You're taught perspectives. One of the first things you're taught.
Right.
You know, and literally shooting the scene where you look like you're standing at one end of a cave and you're seeing the other end of the cave like far away. But all of a sudden you're seeing flashes of them coming in and out and fighting. And it's like, wow, you know,
it was so
you guys
well done.
Did a really good job at shooting that the way it did, and it probably took a long time to do it.
Well, and then you had Allura with the, you know, containing the bomb,
yeah,
and it was just like everything about this episode, and we learned about the Blade of Memora,
yeah,
and this is where we parted ways with a few allies, which they needed to kind of lighten the load.
Well, it was that whole thing where you're like, his mom can't stay around when they go back to Earth,
no,
because there's nothing on Earth for her.
Sadness.
I know his dad's
dead,
so yeah. And it was just like, we have to see that. That'll be like a season 8
right
thing where we see where the Blade of Memora goes and what happens. And, you know, obviously we'll see how what happens on Earth affects them.
Right. And then with season 6,
Hulk meets a girl and the girl takes over the Yellow Lion and he retires.
Well, the girl from the Balmera showed up when he was recovering. Oh.
Yeah, you just spoiled something.
Anyway,
I was waiting for it.
But that it, it
no,
didn't.
I didn't really.
I like him with the Altaian girl.
Was that in episode 6 that he talks about that?
Yeah. Like him with the Altaian girl, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see that because they were both
like
so.
Like, them become a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it may still happen. I don't know. I mean, there's still 26 episodes of Ultron to go before over.
And it's the whole thing that I had a complaint with in these 6 episodes is the Lance Allura thing.
Where'd he go?
Yeah. What happened?
So.
Unless it progresses as they are on Earth and that. But I'm like, he literally puts a pretty girl in his lion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute. Are you trying to make her jealous?
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Because I was like, oh, totally put her with Hunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what I thought was going to happen, too.
Yeah.
So the 6th episode, I just, for my notes here, I just called it Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Because they spend a chunk, just the 5 of them, floating through space.
What was it called?
It was called The Journey Within.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had to embrace their inner lions, if you will.
Well, right, because they run into some kind of cosmic event that freezes everybody else in place.
Right.
And it's just the 5 of them, which I think is Bob, you know. It's
maybe,
something to
yeah,
do with
it
Bob.
Was something, yeah.
And where it's what Shiro keeps telling them is you 5 have to work together. You 5 are Voltron. And this is where.
And it's not just the lions and it's not just the paladins.
Right.
It's the mix of the two. And we haven't got a good, like, face composite of the Paladin Alliance since really early in the series.
Right.
So they've been kind of complacent in their lion driving skills.
Well, and it's that thing that we seen with the flashback episode with Zarkon and Allura's dad and those paladins where they were one.
Mm-hmm.
And that until Zarkon, you know, became corrupted.
Right.
They were one. They worked as one. And the lion.
But remember, Zarkon became corrupted because of the quintessence from the alternate universe.
Right, yeah.
Like, so, yeah.
But I mean, when they were the Voltron Force.
Right.
They were the greatest power in the galaxy because they worked as one group together. And the problem is, with this group, and we've seen it continuously, they always are against each other in some way or another.
The wrestling term is going into business for yourself.
Yeah.
And there is at least one moment in every episode where one of them goes into business for themselves. It's usually Keith.
Or it's just called being human.
Well, yeah. So, but that's, I mean, but that's the beauty of it, right? Because it wasn't meant to necessarily be manned by human beings.
Right.
And, you know, when it was trapped on Earth and Keith's dad and Keith's mom, you know, protected the Blue Lion until, you know, they didn't. And then, you know, it chose Lance.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was just that, it's that thing where this episode is the culmination of everything from the last six seasons where they are finally Voltron. That you can refer to them as Voltron and not as Paladins.
Right, right.
And that, because they fight through what they have to. And at the moment when everything looks dire, the Lions come back to them.
Right.
And the Lions, like, you know, the Lions judge them, I feel like.
They judge them worthy.
As being prepared, you know, to be the Voltron.
I was thinking of the scene in A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
When they're standing over Lord Adhemar.
Yeah.
You've been weighed. You've been measured. But instead of, you know, instead of being found wanting, you've been found worthy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's your prize.
Right.
I will say the first half, I agree with you. I think it drug a little.
Yeah.
But once you get into the next episode,
well, right.
you're going to understand why it had so much setup.
That's why this is a 13 episode season.
And the last.
Because literally, if that was the season, that was six, because it had been six or seven episodes, if that would have been the six episodes and they would have said, we're not coming back till January,
it would have been a huge letdown.
Like, what the hell?
It would have been a huge letdown.
Yeah.
And like,
and
you know what,
you know, the next episode starts. I mean, obviously at the end of the episode six, you know, we're home.
Yeah.
They see the Milky Way galaxy. Mm-hmm. We're going home. And it's like, okay, cool. And the next episode started and I stopped it. And I'm like, okay, so they're literally coming to Earth in the next episode. And I'm like, okay,
right.
cool. We're going to get to see this adventure now.
And what happens
is
pretty amazing.
Well, I'm sure we'll get some more of what happened with the Galra, because, you know.
Well, getting the history of the last 3 years of Earth is something that happens in the first episode back.
Right.
And.
Well, you're going to get the history of Earth from the time that they've left.
That's what I'm saying. No, you get the history of Earth from the time that they've gone away. And, It was very, very cool.
Sure.
So,
and I mean,
and I don't want to say anything else about
it. Probably watch it tonight or soon, you know.
But I mean, I'm going to rewatch it just because we're going to talk about it next week, but then make sure that it's fresh and all of that.
Right.
But yeah, I got to say,
I mean, I'm not dissatisfied with these six episodes. I think that they have a lot of story to them.
So,
which makes it harder sometimes because, you know, you watch. How many seasons have we watched? It have been six episodes, seven episodes.
Two have been six, two have been seven.
Right, but just small chunks.
Right.
And it's like watching these six and knowing that it's building toward more story is like, you're just like, well, this isn't the Voltron I've been watching for the last four seasons.
Right, but you also know that with this particular season seven, that at the end of this sixth episode, I have seven more to go. Right. So I do think.
And I'm not complaining because we've had, what, this is three seasons in 1 year.
Yeah.
So, but
had this ended on a cliffhanger, I would have liked for it to go to episode seven and then cliffhang.
Right.
And after you watch it, I think you'll understand why you probably should have stopped at that one. But if it would have ended here, I would have been like, man, it was like unfulfilled potential.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that being said, I really thoroughly
and
enjoyed
watching it and
the character
that
building
the
that went
episodes
in.
Episodes are still there. It's like makes it more looking forward to it. So, you know.
But they did so much character development for existing characters.
Yeah.
Which most, let's not even talk about animation. Most TV shows in general do not go back and continue to grow their characters seven seasons in.
And we only had one moment of form Voltron in these six episodes.
Well, I mean, we didn't even, when you don't get Voltron until episode six and you don't miss it.
Yeah.
They've done something very, very right.
Yeah.
So Joaquin, Lauren, thank you for this awesome show.
Yeah.
It's superior to the original 84 Voltron in every way.
Well, it's had more seasons than this.
But no, it hasn't had as many episodes.
It hasn't had as many episodes.
So the original Voltron went 100. For 100. And they said, like, so they've announced that there's 26 episodes left that they're going to do.
Okay.
Which is going to stop it just short of 100, which kind of sucks.
They're not going to go to 100?
They're not going to go to 100, apparently.
Fleet of Doom.
So, maybe.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
The Fleet of Doom mm-hmm. with the vehicle yep. and the lions? That was fun.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I tease you about the vehicles. Like, I like the vehicles, too. I had the vehicle Voltron.
You don't have to spoil anything. My only thing that I told her when we were watching it is I don't want it to be, like, 25 vehicles. I'm like, it should not be 25 vehicles.
It's not 25
right,
vehicles.
Yeah. 400 vehicles. 400. Nice.
400 vehicles.
Great, it's a city. They just call it Metroplex at this point. Yeah, and they get
one of them is one of them's like a pickup or a semi truck.
Oh, did they just go down to the antique mall and buy every vehicle that was around?
One's a Beetle.
Lightning McQueen. Yeah, is part of the vote.
Yeah, Lightning McQueen's in there.
Mater.
Mater. Gru's car from.
Oh.
Excellent. Despicable Me is excellent. In there. Yeah. It was really cool.
The attack track from He-Man.
So. Yeah, that's in there.
Skeletor's collector from He-Man.
Well, that's a bad ship, so that's in the evil version.
Yeah.
So I will say...
Oh, the Thunder Tank.
The Thunder Tank is definitely in there. I will say this. The second half of the season has its own beginning, middle, and end.
That's cool.
In the end, definitely sets up the end game for the show.
It'll be watched by the end of this week.
But I'm saying it sets up the end game for the series.
Oh, yeah.
Which... answers a lot. It answers more questions than it asks, but you're left with I want to know more.
Sure.
Which, again, Joaquin, Lauren, thank you for making such a coolly successful show.
If only the toys would have been successful.
Yeah. I mean, like I told you, I put the lion back together I put Voltron back together. Yeah, right. You know, my paladins are the three that I have are prominently displayed in here. I'm bummed that I'm not gonna get more of them, but
if they produced them, they may show up at some point.
Yeah, you know? Ollie's or something.
Ollie's or Big Lots or something. Yeah, you know, I don't know that they produced them. I mean, we've seen pictures from Toy Fair.
But those are prototypes. You know, they don't typically. Well, I guess sometimes they do. But anywho, all right. On that note, anything else?
No. We'll talk about the second half next week.
All right.
And any news that pops up.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodworth, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.